Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. This year, local music festival Splore moved from its usual outdoorsy location at Te Papakanga Regional Park into the heart of Auckland City. Would the people still come? Would there still be dancing? What would happen to the vibe? We set Tom Watts along to find out.
Welcome to Splore City. You're currently listening to the sound of three people dancing. I say dancing. It's more akin to what squares like you and me would call an epileptic fit. As the man in the poncho and ripped jeans writhes like some kind of sex-charged wounded beast, I wonder how the normally austere Auckland Town Hall became like this. Taking it so, saving up she, before she knows it, but I asked before she goes home. She's tough guy. I started by interviewing festival director Amanda Wright. This year, normally we're at the beach. Yes. This year we're not at the beach. Yes. What prompted that move?
I guess the Splore Beach Festival will continue. It's been a biennial festival since 2002, and we will continue to do the beach festival. We did contemplate doing it on an annual basis at the beach, but it was kind of a bit of a hands-down decision that really holding it at the beach in such a beautiful venue as the Te Papakanga Regional Park, it's actually very nice to leave it a gap of 2 years. So we decided we really wanted to do something that was a Splore event in the gap year, and we figured that doing something in the city would also potentially open up the whole Splore vibe to people maybe that don't want to go camping or away for 3 weeks or have that perception of, you know, a crusty festival that, you know, doesn't necessarily attract them to it. So we really wanted to give a taste of what Splore was all about in the city environment. We've done it before back in 2009 when we did a great little gig up at Western Park where we sort of created a temporary venue and had Michael Rose and a whole bunch of performers. And so, you know, I think the thing with Splore and the people behind Splore is the producers that we actually just deliver really unique and special events. And so we felt that by bringing something into the city in the gap year actually was a new thing to try out and see how the people responded to it. And, it's been an interesting journey.
How do you actually preserve that kaupapa, you know, in the big kind of city environment as opposed to, you know, being at the beach?
Yeah. I guess the thing is that we've basically got all the elements that we have at the beach, other than obviously we're not camping and we're not at a beach, we're not in the outdoors. So, I mean, we've preserved it by the content that we're presenting in the city with a really amazingly eclectic lineup of music. And, you know, four of the artists that are performing, international artists, have never been here to New Zealand before, so... And so that's quite, you know, it's great. I guess one of the ethos, the key things behind Splore is Splore's always presenting artists that aren't necessarily on that, they're kind of more underground or they're not in the mainstream, but often through Splore, a lot more people get to know about them. I mean, also, I guess one of, you know, the multimedia aspect of it and some of the visual arts projects that are going on will actually work really better in that city environment versus in the outdoor environment, particularly some of the aerial performances and the stuff that Mike Hodge is doing as far as the 3D video mapping onto the organ. You know, you can't...
The 3D video mapping onto the organ?
That's correct.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, that's, you know, that's one of our... That's dub module and that's one of our, you know,
In terms of the... are the people in the town hall worried that, you know, people might just start painting the inside of the town hall with crazy vibrant colours and those kinds of things?
Oh, I'm just hoping that the people will actually just come in the crazy vibrant colours and not actually start painting the town hall. God, I hope not. No, I don't think they're too worried about that. I mean, it is interesting being in a city venue, and that has its new other challenges. You know, it's like being in the city, although there are some things about it around it that logistically are much easier. The city takes on a whole another level of challenges, and of course, being in a entertainment precinct such as what the Edge has there with the RTS Centre, the Town Hall, there's quite a few rules and regulations that you know. But that's fine. I mean, you play the game, you have to, and we're very excited to be in that. I mean, the Town Hall is such a beautiful venue, and we'll be transforming it, so it'll be great.
One of the big acts on the opening night was Fly My Pretties, the musical collective which features a whole plethora of New Zealand's finest musicians, like Barnaby Weir, Paul McClaney, L.A. Mitchell, not to mention the two that I caught up with, singer-songwriter slash multi-instrumentalist Eva Prowse, and Aaron Torkiner, who used to front rock band Weta and currently plays in Cairo Knife Fight.
Well, you're kind of new to the whole thing, Aaron. What's it like playing with these people for the first time?
Mean. All mean all the time.
We're mean. All real mean, yeah.
All mean all the time, kind of mean.
Okay.
Meanest of mean. Huge, deep, heavy mean.
Fauna Pretty is a bit of a kind of a musical collective, if you will. How would you describe the co-pupper of the project, people that haven't heard it before?
Well, yeah, it's just good times. It's a whole bunch of musicians from around the place that all do their own stuff and quite different stuff, but then we all come together and write tunes and play on each other's tunes and make some wicked new kind of sound.
How many of you are there this time, do you know?
There's 15 tonight.
15, okay.
Yeah.
When you've got 15 people playing, do you ever, like, fight over who plays on which songs? Because presumably you're not all out there.
Only on the inside, I reckon. Yeah, nah, we don't vote twice.
Quite the opposite, actually. Yeah. It's funny at rehearsals, say someone goes, oh, it's this one next, and everyone's going, oh, okay. Oh, it's quite funny.
Right.
Yeah.
It's quite a kind of a family-ish vibe, I guess.
Definitely.
Does it feel like you're kind of part of some kind of hippie commune, like a kind of a Blurter-esque Coromandel kind of thing? Do you think you'll ever end up living together?
Ask me at about 3 in the morning and I'll probably say yep.
Right, so at 3 a.m. you'll be like, these guys are my family.
I love
family.
You guys. No, I love them all there.
No, most people in this group can say they're sober.
And just one final question. How did you end up in Fly My Pretty? Did you get asked? Did you kind of tap on Barbie Weir's shoulder?
Yeah, you know, they were playing at, doing Fly My Pretty at Pegasus Bay for the summer series. And I went to that gig just to have a good time and was hanging out backstage. After consuming quite a lot of drinks with Barnaby, he asked me, so he might regret it now, but it seems to be going okay.
Or maybe there's somebody he always wanted to play in Fly My Pretty and he finally got the courage to finally ask.
Nice one, bro. Yeah, hopefully that's the case.
All right, sweet. And what would you say the audience is in for tonight?
Well, it's quite an eclectic gig, I guess. And, you know, Fly My Pretty is, you know, it's a bit of sugar for everyone, really. There's a bit of funk in there, there's a bit of, you know, it's a nice vanilla chocolate cake.
I decided to go inside. In here, I bumped into Eric Orr painting a very large robot head on a massive mural just inside the entranceway.
I was commissioned by Splore to create this mural for them, do some live painting, some interactive painting, like what I'm doing with you, having this little talk and painting at the same time.
It turns out Eric is a bit of an icon amongst the old-school New York hip-hop scene.
And I started with this robot head, and that went on to flourish, and I also have some friends in the industry, in the music industry, so I've done some covers for people like Afrika Bambaataa, Jazzy J, Lord Finesse, and so on. So they... there's a music and art connection that goes along. So I tend to get a lot of gigs where I'm painting along with the music, which is it's good for me.
And so at the moment, is this another robot head?
This is one of the robot heads here. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Because do you only paint robot heads now?
No, I paint just about everything. But people know me because of this particular icon, this pictogram. So yeah. It's been paying the bills for a long time, and I don't mind.
And yeah. You've gone for the black paint?
Yes.
What does that represent?
It's striking. It has no really representation, but it's just striking against this particular canvas, that's all. We went with the lighter colors because we're supposed to be outside next door, and I guess they had some weather advisements, and they decided to come in. So I said, you know, I'm going to keep my palette the same, but being indoors, I'm going to make it stronger with the black outlines. Yeah, I think it works.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's great.
Oh, cool.
So you're going to paint the entire thing?
Yeah, well, I'm adding the icons now. A couple of robots are going to go in there, and that's going to call it a night.
Venture further inside, and there are people talking about life and colour and movement and sound as they play with the various audio-visual installations.
Basically, what we're looking at is a blank screen, and you stand in front of it, and then you move, and your movements are picked up by the screen but turn into outrageous psychedelic colours. And which this gentleman is really enjoying by the looks of things.
Look, I'm moving my limbs.
And why?
Because I want it to do something. And it is sort of like a moving incandescent arm. Okay. Maybe. There you go, like a... Yeah, there we go.
After that, I think I got my face painted.
Just anything to make me look cool and manly. Butterfly.
Great.
Then I talked to a man dressed as a stag.
All right. I've seen you do a lot of amazing dance moves. Are you getting tired?
Oh, look, I was here last night. I was tired last night, but the vibe tonight is it's pumping. It's a lot better, so I feed off the energy and I'm doing well. I'm sweet.
When you say you feed off the energy, I mean, what? So there weren't many people last night?
It was just the crowd tonight is a lot more lively. People are here to have a good time, and so, you know, we deliver. I can party. These people are good.
Does the moose costume kind of slow you down a little bit?
Oh, yeah, it does, but, you know, it's all part of the challenge, and you've got to just take it full bore and overcome the triumphs and keep partying for the sake of Spore Music Festival.
And then I danced. Now, it wasn't quite the same vibe as Spore at the beach, and the turnout wasn't quite what was hoped for, but these three amazingly excellent spasming dancers that you can hear right now make up for all of that.
And that's Tom Watts reporting from Spore City. That's all we've got time for on this week's show. Thanks for listening. If there's something that you missed or you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
I've been Ben Hurley.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air.